Good morning. It's bright and early. It's not bright out because it's Seattle. So, like Copenhagen, the shadow of the devil falls over it for much of the winter. Just like Copenhagen, Denmark, Seattle is in the shadow of the devil much longer than the rest of the world, probably because there's just a little bit more evil here. Just like Copenhagen. But it's early. It's 6:30. There is very little sign of light. There won't be for another hour or so. When at that point, the angels of God have the power to overpower the shadow of Satan that falls over Seattle and Copenhagen. Nobody knows why, it just does. I have a little bit of raspiness in my voice. If you want to know why, it's because of chill. The chill has come back. The winter chill that we thought was still. You know, we called her Jill, Jill of Winter, the chill of winter that we thought was gone. Well, no, it's back. It's back for a song. Anyways, my throat's a bit raspy because, you know, it is Seattle. We are in the Northern Hemisphere on the Great Globe. And as such, we do get this coldness this time of year. It's all in the science books if you read them. Yeah, so I was thinking about a problem, a moral problem. If you're a Christian, and I think this applies to other religions as well, you can you confront these proscriptions, these rules, these laws, and specifically, I'm thinking about Leviticus right now. Leviticus, right after Exodus. You'll find stuff in Leviticus that you'll say, okay, God didn't want the Israelites doing this. God did not want the Israelites eating shellfish. Now, let me tell you my feelings about shellfish. I do not like shellfish. I do not like to eat crabs. I won't eat shrimp. Yes, if I got really hungry, and here's a good example of how you process this. You process this. You know, by thinking if you get hungry enough, it's like if I'm hungry enough, I'm gonna eat anything. I'm gonna eat almost. I don't think I'll become a cannibal. I think I got lines in the sand. I won't become a cannibal, but will I eat dogs and cats? I'm sorry if you're a dog owner or a cat owner. If I'm hungry enough. If I'm hungry enough, you know, yeah. So, anyways, there are proscriptions against shellfish, and I'll eat shellfish if I have to, but I just don't. And in general, I don't eat a lot of seafood, you know, these days. I think the Puget Sound, I mean, well, I was going to say the Pacific Ocean, but that's a Freudian slip. I think the Puget Sound, but also more importantly, the Pacific Ocean is being treated like a giant toilet bowl, and it's worse than the worst toilet bowl. And so for me, eating shellfish, whether it's shrimp or lobster, so it's Atlantic too. It's just I'm closer to the Pacific, so don't be all like, well, do you think the Atlantic is clean? No. It's probably as much a toilet bowl. Believe me, you got France right there. So yeah, the oceans of the earth, all the oceans are becoming giant toilet bowls. And these creatures, the shrimp, and the krill and the crab and the lobster, these creatures kind of filter that shit out. You know, they kind of eat that shit right up. You know, even if you say, well, what about the ones that eat the algae and the plants that grow? Well, those guys are eating it too. They're eating the nasty, gross, disgusting way we treat these oceans. So when I read Leviticus, I say to myself, well, you know, there's something I actually, okay, I think it got it right. On the other hand, I have family members that love shellfish. They love clams and oysters and crabs. They love that shit. They love their oysters and their snails and their crabs. And they have to have them. And I have family people, I have people in my family Who do? And I'm not going to reject them because they might say, wouldn't it be cool, Dan, to go down to Pike Place Market and get some crab and ship it someplace? It's like, dude. I think they adjusted the acceptable amount of radiation by 10,000 times. Okay? They increased the amount of allowable exposure by 10,000 times following Fukushima. I think it was the Nuclear Regulatory Commission and some other organizations. Now that may be apocryphal, and you might say I snopes it, Dan, and it wasn't that bad, whatever. But yeah, I do not eat shellfish. I know people who do. I'm not going to say you eat shellfish, you're a scumbag. But in truth, in my opinion, eating crab or shellfish at this point in human history, anywhere in the world almost, really, because these things filter that shit out, okay? These things are collectors. They collect all the toxic shit. Eating shellfish is a lot like going every day to the nastiest gas station in the nastiest place and going to the nastiest stall in its bathroom and licking around the toilet. That's what eating shellfish seems like to me. Now, if you think you want to go do that, feel free. I am not going to keep you from doing that, but you know what? You are playing a kind of special lottery, in my opinion. Now, of course, scientists might come out in a couple of years and say that, Dan, you're full of shit. This gives people superpowers. The shellfish are creating super oils and super compounds that give people superpowers and abilities. You're a scumbag. Eating oysters cures cancer. They could come out and say that. I don't think they will. My meditation on shellfish is because of this issue of being gay. And let me tell you something. As a Christian, and I'm not an asterisk Christian, okay? There's no asterisk by my name. I am a Christian. That doesn't mean I fully understand the wisdom of Christ yet. I'm still learning the wisdom of Christ. But I am a Christian, and there is no asterisk. So I don't say to myself, well, I'm going to pick and choose the shit in the Bible that means something, and then I'm going to ignore the rest. No. I think all of it is inspired by God, so you have to be willing to open yourself up to it, even in Leviticus. And Leviticus is a tough fucking book. But then again, maybe you need to put on your hat labeled understanding and discernment. And maybe there's more to the Leviticus story we don't think about. Here's the thing about Leviticus. If you're going to think about it, in my opinion, you have to imagine a bunch of people on a spaceship, okay? They are on a 40-year journey. That's 4 decades of journey to a nearby star where maybe there's a planet that humans can live on. And you're like the last humans, okay? Maybe not the last, but everybody else worships Baal. Or somebody else, or some other heinous deity that really is a fallen angel, or just Satan, or a demon, a minion of Satan. The point is, everyone else worships Satan, okay? And you're on a spaceship heading for on a 40-year fucking journey. And there's not a lot of food, and there's not a lot of water. Guess what? There's not a lot of anything. You are on a spaceship 40 fucking years in deep space, you cannot pull over. You're not going to get oysters. I'm sorry, there won't be any crab or oysters on the fucking spaceship. Because that's how you have to read Leviticus. If you read it like, why were they so crazy? Listen, they weren't so crazy if you consider their circumstances. Actually, if you really think about their circumstances, it makes a lot of fucking sense. From their perspective, all of their lives were in danger. From their perspective, they were on the run. Sure, they'd escaped Pharaoh, but that doesn't mean they were safe. And now they're in the wilderness. Now they're in deep space, surrounded by nothing, surrounded by all kinds of threats. not enough food, not enough water. And God says things like, listen, don't eat the shellfish. Listen, there are creatures in the desert. You know, there are actually shellfish in the desert that come alive briefly after a rain. This happens. And I got to tell you, I don't know if the shellfish in the deserts of the ancient times, those shellfish that could come alive after a rain, if they were poisonous or not. But maybe God knew. I'm just trying to play God's advocate here. That God possibly knew a few things that we didn't know today, sitting comfortably, drinking our fucking Keurig coffee, having opinions about the fucking Leviticus. And so let's talk about gay. Gay, yeah. They were on the run and they were crazy. So this impacts gay people in a couple different ways. One, being gay puts you in an outsider group. And when people are on the run, they will treat the weak and the outsider and the freak worse than ever. I don't like it. You don't like it. None of us like it. Listen, I'm not gay. But if you want to know if I've ever been treated like an outsider, the answer is fucking yes. And when people are in a state of fear, whether they're good people or bad people, and I hate to break it to you, it's worse with bad people. Think Nazis, think communists. When they get all paranoid and fearful, it's a bloody fucking mess, people. But imagine the Israelites, okay? And here's Moses, okay? Moses is doing the best he can. And as we well know, even Moses was not perfect. Not in the eyes of God. As we well know. So, yeah, the Israelites are on the run, and they got some rules that make little sense to us now. And you can say, well, Christ died on the cross to fulfill the old covenants. There's truth to that. I'm still learning the wisdom. So you could say, well, then, Dan, don't worry about Leviticus. Don't worry about it. No, I'm sorry. Okay, I know that the Bible, is very much a product of something called the Council of Nicaea. I know that in the 4th century AD, the Bible as we know it was laid out. I know there are books called Apocrypha, like the Book of Enoch, that are not technically part of the Bible, but many Christians consider sacred texts. I know that that's true. So I already know that when we say the Bible is the inspired word of God, there are a lot of people involved. And the picking and choosing of books, that I can only hope God was there. I hope an angel was there at the Council of Nicaea. Because if there wasn't an angel, then the other guy was there. But I'm taking faith that God inspired the Council of Nicaea as well. I hope that God did. Because if it really was just a bunch of old people, old men, and some women probably picking which books go in and which books don't, then I think that was a fucked up situation. Sorry. So Leviticus was chosen to stay. And listen, Leviticus is crazy. You know, what's up with this? You can't eat shellfish. You can't eat this. You can't do that. Well, I think you have to think of it like I said. They are human beings on the run. You know what it's a lot like? If you need to have a modern science fiction comparison, think of Leviticus in the context of Battlestar Galactica, the reboot. Okay, I don't mean the 1970s disco. No, I don't mean that. Even though it was awesome, and even though it was better in some ways. But the reboot of Battlestar Galactica, it was a great show, wasn't it? Don't you remember when? God, I can't believe we do this now. So much bullshit. Remember when? Yeah, Battlestar Galactica. But listen, those people went crazy as fuck, especially the last season. Things went extra dark, and they all must have known deep down inside, what the fuck? This Earth's probably bullshit. Listen, they all probably felt it at times. They didn't have faith. Listen, if you think everyone in Battlestar Galactica believed the Admiral because he said we're going to go to this secret place that we kept a secret called Earth, Yeah, guys, you know what? They were building starships. I'm not trying to be a dick, but this is the stuff that happens in the gaps. You know, when it comes to a story, any story, it's a lot like a map. The map is not the territory or the terrain. It isn't. And so there's a lot of stuff that gets left out. You don't see what's behind the scenes. You know, it's like that, what is it, Morgenstern and Guildenstein are dead. Anyways, it's a lot like that. Guildenstern and Morgenstern are dead, or whatever. Situations that are not accounted for because you only have so many acts in a play. You only have so many minutes in a movie. And so, yeah, you're not going to see every single time that Captain America takes a shit. It's like, listen, and would you want to? Would you want to, really? I know that there are people out there probably really into Captain America and Iron Man and would love to know if Iron Man ever takes a shit in his suit. Probably does. Probably has to. So when you think about something like Battlestar Galactica, for example, and how dark they got, and yeah, it's a story, but truthfully, that's a very honest part of the story. If you had a bunch of people in a spaceship on a journey for 40 years in the hope that they will escape their enemies and find a place to live, and in a lot of ways, that was the Israelites in the wilderness. And let's be honest with each other. If we're Christians, especially if we're Christians these days, we feel like we're in the wilderness. We feel like, holy fuck, how do we get out of this fucking mess? I feel crazy. Listen, sometimes you're going to feel so crazy, you say something mean to somebody. Sometimes you'll feel so fucking crazy, you will say the worst things you could ever imagine to another person that doesn't deserve it. These are crazy times of the wilderness for people too, I believe. Maybe I'm not being right in the head. Maybe you don't agree. But these are actually some crazy times. And so when we look at Leviticus and it says, do not eat the crab, do not lay with, you know, if you're a man, don't have sex with a man. If you're a woman, don't have sex with a woman. You know, don't have sex with your neighbor's wife. Don't have sex with there's a lot of don't have sex except if you're married. But if you were on the run, okay, and I'm sorry, I'm gonna ask everybody, including people who like shellfish and are gay or like their snails and their oysters, shout out to Sir Laurence Olivier and Tony Curtis and Spartacus. Come on. If you were on the run in that situation, you may not like it. You may think it's stupid. And in the end, you could be right. It could have been a fear that was not needed. It could have been a horrible prejudice that could have been thrown away. But if you were on the run in the desert, and every once in a while neighbors get swallowed up by the earth because they fuck up, okay? Think about that for a second. You're on the run, and Moses is in charge. And let's say something about Moses. Moses, I think, was a lot like God. Moses was wise. Moses was compassionate. Moses had a heart the size of the universe. Moses was this brilliant, brilliant man, okay? That was wise and good and just and decent and was helpful as fuck, Moses. Everybody wants Moses as a friend. But Moses did not put up with shit, and that's also something that's true of God, and eventually you could piss Moses off. And yeah, I think Moses would say, listen, God, that family, they curse your name, they're fucking everyone up, we only have so much food, and they're constantly pushing us to the edge. Fuck. I could imagine Moses having that conversation with God. I could. And then all of a sudden, you go to the part of the Bible where the family sucked into the earth. And for reasons that, according to God's pronouncements, are just. God said, if you don't obey me, okay, Israelite, this will happen. And listen, if you'll notice, and I think this is important, God's justice gets more firm in situations where people are at greatest risk. Sodom was a hellhole. I'm sorry. Sodom was a piece of shit. I bet Abraham went into the fucking marketplace and said, listen, will some of you change your ways? to save the city. And I bet the city said, Abraham, we're too busy, you know, doing paupers, all of us, having sex with whales and goats. And yeah, we figured out there are no boundaries, and fuck you, we're having too much fun. Sodom was worse than just gay sex. I hate to break it to you, but gay sex was not the worst thing going on in Sodom. My guess, there are things going on in Sodom that would make everyone blush if they're decent people, gay or straight. Sodom was a fucking mess. If you don't think so, fine. You're not putting on your imagination helmet that you totally put on when you watch a fucking movie about space aliens. You're willing to put on that helmet with that, but for some fucking reason, you are not willing to suspend disbelief and recognize the possibility that Sodom was as bad or worse than the shit you see today, and there's some pretty horrible shit today. There's a lot of fucking, it's okay for a doctor to kill a baby after it's born shit going on today, if we're honest about it. So you are on the run, and you're given this commandment, if you're a man, don't have sex with a man. If you're a woman, don't have sex with a woman. If a woman is menstruating, okay, it's in there. If a woman is having her period, do not lie with her. Now, I gotta be honest with you. That's part of Leviticus that I think remains not only true for one reason, but probably several, and that's probably a good thing. It's a lot like the shellfish thing. I tell people when I can, don't eat the fucking shellfish. It's my personal opinion. If you're in the industry, if that's your job, I apologize. I'm sorry, okay? I'm just telling you straight up. Don't do crystal meth. If you're a crystal meth, you know, grower. If you're a fucking lab geek, a cook making crystal meth, and you say, Dan, why are you dissing crystal meth? Listen, I'm sorry, but yeah, I would prefer you didn't have a business. On the other hand, grow weed, you know? Cultivate the psychedelic mushroom. I think both of those things are probably okay, you know, within reason. Have a microbrewery. Holy fuck. The world cannot have too many of those. I know the Garden of Eden, I am convinced, had trees with cheeseburgers and trees that provided a pint. I am convinced of this. The more I meditate on this, I am convinced of it. So yeah, you know, there are other things you can do. And so, yes, when I look at Leviticus, I too get a little introspective and say to myself, am I part of a crazy religion? Because it reads that way at times. And then at other times, you say, don't eat the shellfish, maybe, and you kind of agree there. Don't lie with a woman, you know, menstruating. That makes sense. Don't have sex with your neighbor's wife. Well, to me, that makes sense, period. You shouldn't do that. That's pretty fucked up, you know? You should never do that. Children should not have sex, you know, and people shouldn't be in a hurry. In a way, that's part of the message of Leviticus too. Don't be in a hurry to have sex. Listen, folks, we're in the fucking desert, okay? There is not a lot of water. There's not a lot of food. Having tons of sex right now, whether it's, you know, even if it's gay sex, which has no likelihood of producing a child, that's not going to work. And you know, when you think about it, this makes a lot of sense. Because if you're telling the straight people, don't have sex, and we all know, I hate to break it to you folks, but technology in like the second or third millennia BC, probably the rubbers didn't work so great. Probably, you know, Aunt Hilga's old-timey, prophylactic, probably did not work so great. I'm not trying to be a dick, but let's be blunt. Rubbers in the time of Moses probably broke. They break. They don't work. They're not 100% effective today. Okay. They are just in that Henri Bergson sense, you know, plus or minus effective. And sometimes they work, and sometimes they don't. And that's today. So imagine the straight people. Okay. You know, I'm going to ask the gay people to be compassionate for a fucking second. Because guess what? Straight people like to have sex too. Imagine the straight people in the fucking wilderness, and they're being told that there's all kinds of straight sex they can't have. Because for obvious reasons, listen, folks, I'm not trying to be a dick, but you got to imagine you're on a fucking spaceship for 40 fucking years. There's only so much food. There's only so much water. Okay? There's only so much everything. It's not, I believe in liberty. I believe in free enterprise. Okay? You're talking to a person who hates government, but I believe cooperatively, rational people on a spaceship for 40 fucking years. 40 years, right? 40 years in the desert. I mean, again, I'm still learning the Bible. I'm the atheist who found God rather late in life. Yeah, 40 fucking years. What would you do? I mean, how rational would you be? I know you're going to say, well, Dan, I read my, fucking Jean-Paul Sartre, and I've been exposed to my Karl Marx. And I would have created an elegant perfection. Oh, fuck you. You would have done the best you could. You would have tried to organize, hopefully voluntarily, because if you do it through tyranny, that shit only ends in disaster. And that experiment would have happened before the ship arrives. That's the Twilight Zone episode where the people never get there. I'm sorry. But if you did it in some tyrannical way, you would have failed. But would a bunch of the older people have gotten together and said, guys, we got to figure out something? And would one or two people, would they have become leaders, not rulers, leaders, and said, you know what, we need to do this and we need to do this? Could it have been a woman? Yeah. Could it be a man? Yes. It happened to be Moses who organized the fucking people, and people chose to participate with Moses. It's not a lot of tyranny. It's mostly a lot of leadership. Leviticus is horrible in some ways, but if you see it from that perspective, yeah, as horrible as Leviticus is, with all the stoning and all the fucking shit, and I don't know if this is in Leviticus, but this is in the other Bibles, excuse me, the other Bibles, the other books of that period. Sometimes it's called the Septuagint, I think, the first five books. But for me, a lot of these books, after Exodus, these books, these, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, these books after Exodus are also about people on the run. This is the frontier, folks. You got to think of it this way. Think of it like the Oregon Trail, but worse. Okay? You don't have rifles. You don't have all the freaking horses, that you'd want. Maybe you have some animals to pull some carts, but you don't have much. Okay, these people were on the run. So yeah, they said a lot of shit in Leviticus, and I just want to leave it at that. I got to tell you something. I am not homophobic. I don't hate gay people. But by the same token, I am a Christian, and there's evidence in the Bible that being gay is probably something that God's not okay with. But does that imply I want gay people put to death or something? Because Leviticus says so. And the answer is emphatically fucking no. Leviticus should be read as a list of things, do's and don'ts, maybe, that you would do if you were trapped on a spaceship for 40 fucking years. People say you need to read the Bible. Yes, you need to read the Bible. And if you read it out of context, I think you're reading it wrong. If you're reading Leviticus as if you're in the fucking desert, well, actually, you might be. And here's the thing about being in the wilderness. Sex is great, but like Maslow's hierarchy, you need food, you need water, you need shelter. Sex is nice to have. I would love to have a girlfriend right now, but I don't have a job. So what the fuck good would a girlfriend do me? Okay, oh, it's okay to be unemployed. No, it's not. It's not okay to be poor. It doesn't mean being poor is evil. It doesn't mean you're bad, but you're in the wilderness. You're in the desert. And some things, even things that help me, like, okay, weed helps me. And when I get weed in the desert, it feels like manna from heaven. But is weed something that should take precedence over food? No. The reality is that we all get into these wilderness. I don't know if I'm saying that right. The wilderness of our lives. We get into these It's like I'm not a big fan of tyrants, and especially French, rulers or oh, yeah, the French. But Charles de Gaulle claimed at one time that there was this period of time between when he was in office and charge in France as his desert years, or at least that's how he described it. There are times in our lives where we go to the desert. We do. We go to the wilderness. And there's a lot of shit in the wilderness that doesn't make sense. And Jesus went to the wilderness on purpose. He went to the desert for 40 days, right? I think it was 40 days. That number 40 seems to show up a lot in the Bible. But he went to the desert. And he didn't have a lot of food or water. And Satan came around and said, "Hey, man. You remember that cheeseburger tree from Eden? Well, I just plucked a couple cheeseburgers and I plucked a pint, you know." Jesus went to the desert as a way to get closer to God, as a way to connect with God. So if someone were to say, "Well, God hates gay people because Leviticus says so," or maybe there's another passage someplace else, I don't think that's the case. I don't know that God is okay with men having sex with men, or women having sex with women, or men having sex with women when they're menstruating, or people eating shellfish. I don't truly know how God feels about any of those things. But I will say this, when I look at Leviticus, I don't think I'm seeing everything normal mode. I'm seeing, holy fuck, you're in Sodom. You're surrounded by Satanists. They want to screw your daughter's lot. Okay, listen, we're angels from God. You're nice. You let us in. Those dudes wanted to have sex with us, and they did not look like they took a shower. Okay, thank you for letting us in. And I'll let you know a secret. That whole city wants to have sex with your daughter's lot, with your children, with your little kids. Yeah, there was pedophilia in Sodom. I'm sorry, it was way worse. Than just saying, "Well, there were gay men." Listen, you may not, I don't like gay sex because I'm not into it, but that doesn't mean gay people are evil and that we should kill them. But I'm telling you, if you're afraid of shit, be afraid of the shit that's just a little bit darker, and that's sarcasm. Be afraid of the pedophilia. Be afraid of Sodom. Sodom had shit going on. You have to watch Hostel 50,000 times, the movie Hostel. One, two parts fly. I don't fucking care. Watch the horror film series Hostel. If you want to remotely fucking understand what was going on in Sodom, and even then, you probably don't even fucking understand. And when God sees people doing shit like that, this is important. There's a fucking message here that should fucking scare everybody, gay or straight, Christian or not. And do I believe there can be gay Christians? Yes. Have I completely worked out all my issues around that issue? No. Will I? Probably not. Am I God? Do I judge? No. I'm not judge. But listen to me, gay and straight. When adults and humans, when people start doing the shit they did in Sodom, and gay sex was not the worst of it. Having sex with menstruating women was not the worst of it. Okay? Eating shellfish was not the worst fucking thing in Sodom. If you have a brain and any of the darkness I have, you can imagine shit way worse than that. And that too is not enough. When God sees stuff like that, I hate to break it to you. He doesn't say to himself, "Well, maybe we should have an encounter session at Estillin in California. We'll all get into a hot tub and talk about, how we feel about our ancient selves." No, that's not what God does. God doesn't say it's time for an encounter session. God says, "Yep, load up a Mark 12, 50 megatons." That's what God says. And I know it's, you say, "Well, that's horrible, Dan," but you got to remember there was some horrible fucking shit happening in Sodom. The Israelites were in the fucking desert. They were going to be there for 40 years. God knew this. There were lots of them, lots of mouths to feed, and they did not have Jesus Christ and his magical fish loaves, okay? That would have been awesome. That comes later. They had their wits and their intelligence. They had Moses. They had Moses. But they also had a lot of naysayers, a lot of scoffers, a lot of people in their little clan that would get pissed off because they couldn't have their fucking shellfish. Yeah, modern people did not invent eating clams and oysters. They've been eating shellfish for a long time. And I'm just telling you straight up, in the desert, maybe that wasn't a good thing to be into. And yeah, God said, no, you're not going to be doing this. Even if you come across shellfish, which is unlikely, you know, although Satan, there's that. But yeah, in the desert, don't eat the fucking shellfish. Well, folks, when you travel on a spaceship for 40 years and not in hypersleep, okay, you don't get out of the bike. Well, I'll do hypersleep, Dan. Fuck you. There's no hypersleep. You're on the fucking spaceship for 40 fucking years. And yeah, I'm using the F-bomb and talking about godly stuff. And if that bothers you, that's fine. I'm fairly certain Aramaic and ancient Hebrew, or even just Hebrew, period, ancient Greek and ancient Latin had the equivalent, and I'm fairly certain a few disciples, prophets, said things not entirely different. Maybe it didn't get recorded in the Dead Sea Scrolls. Maybe at the Council of Nicaea, it was like, holy fuck, we can't include the Gospel of Dan and his drunken bullshit. Okay, that's a gospel. Listen, Dan and Jesus had a good time, but that particular disciple didn't exist. So yeah, but anyways, if you were on that spaceship, I think that you would see the world a little differently. And even if I hope you voluntarily solve problems and you would make decent, rational choices without coercion. But even then, you're in the fucking desert. You're on the worst camping trip from hell ever. And you're potentially surrounded always by Satanists, you know. And they're chasing you like that old movie. I don't remember it. I think I want to say that William Shatner was in it, but it was this old movie from the 70s, I think. And if you remember it, you can post the link to it if you're a listener. But yeah, William Shatner's in a Winnebago being chased by Satanists. Listen, you're in the desert. You're in your Winnebago. You're being chased by Satanists. I don't think having lots of sex or shellfish probably not going to help. Period. And you can't say, well, at least the gay people get, you know what? If you're gay, you get to have sex that causes no problems with resources. Your rubber never breaks. Okay. Well, guess what? Maybe you should be decent too. I'm not trying to be an asshole, but maybe even the gay people should have to forego during the 40 years, or for the most part. And I hate to break it to you, I'm going to let you on another little secret. There were thousands of Jews, thousands of Hebrews, maybe tens of thousands, maybe more, in this convoy of humanity moving through the desert. This wasn't a small number. This was probably a small city moving through the desert, looking for food and water for 40 fucking years. If you think that every single person was perfect in that city, that men and women did not sleep with their neighbors' wives, I'm telling you, they did. Okay, they did. Moses did not have time to suck everybody into the earth. Okay, probably they couldn't do it. That's why when shit like that happens, you need to understand something. People were probably already scofflying and scoffing and mocking. Okay, I'm sorry. It was probably a horrible situation near a riot. And people were probably sneaking in shellfish. And people were probably doing things like having gay sex. And oh my God, guess what? They still made it to the promised land. As I told you in a previous podcast, not all are doomed. Not all are doomed. And none of us are perfect. I'm not God. You're not God. And guess what? Because I'm not God, I at least get this one burden I don't have to worry about. I don't have to worry about judging. I don't have to worry about that. That is a problem that God solves and Christ took away the sins in addition. So I do not have to worry about judging. I have to try to, like, convince people of the way. And as an ex-atheist, that's hard as fuck. I won't lie, and I swear, I curse, and I'm sure that doesn't help help either. I almost said that doesn't help in either, which is a total Missabama thing to say, as if I was from the region between Mississippi and Alabama. But no, that's not a help in either, really. I try to do the right thing, but I'm not perfect, and I don't have to judge. But I am also not currently in the desert for 40 years. Have I been in my own personal desert for a few months? Yeah. Guess what? In that personal desert, there was a fair amount of manna from heaven and a lot of love from people in my life that, you know, helped me. And so even though it may have been tough, and it's still tough, and I have not left the desert yet, I am still in the desert, it's not that bad a desert. I can podcast in the desert. I can talk to you in the desert. I'm in my wilderness. It sucks. But guess what? People have reached out to me in the desert. That was not an option for the city on the move in the wilderness. So yes, Leviticus is crazy. And you need to remember that the people who were following those rules were kind of crazy. Times were crazy. They didn't have enough food or water. They were angry. They were frustrated. I mean, that's kind of a tough existence if you think about it. It's like a moving concentration camp in a lot of ways because you don't have any real freedom. It's not time for that. It's time to survive. Everyone has a job. And if you don't have a job, you better have something you're doing. So we can judge and we can say they were, oh, that's so weird. That's so crazy. Why did they say that? They hated gay people. Yeah, you can do that. Or you can watch a few fucking seasons of Battlestar Galactica, the reboot, and fucking meditate on the fact that they had high-tech equipment that allowed them to turn their poo into cheeseburgers. I hate to break it to you. The Israelites did not have those things. They could not just do magical technological shit. They had God, and God was kind. But God, you know, God was patient in a way that none of us could be. But even God, like Moses, had a breaking point, had a point at which this is just total bullshit. I'm sucking you into the earth. I'm sorry. And if you're in the desert for 40 years with a bunch of people, a bunch of human beings, and human beings love to complain, let's all be honest. 40 years of that. And God's listening, okay? If God hears the wailing of the Israelites in Egypt, save us, free us from the Pharaoh. And then 5 minutes later, it's like, God, Lord in heaven, Yahweh, this being in the desert's tough work. And that's about 5 minutes into it. And it is tough work. And it would only get tougher for 40 years. You have to imagine, 20 years in, things are pretty bad, okay? Let's just be blunt about that. 20 years into the journey, things are tough. Now they're toughening up. They're getting smarter. They're getting smarter. They're getting tougher. But even the toughening is a race against time because everyone knows they cannot do that forever. They cannot do that indefinitely. So I want to leave you with that meditative thought today with respect to your own personal wilderness, if you're in one or if you've been in one, and Leviticus, and specifically if you're gay. I don't hate gay people, and I think it's stupid to hate people if they're gay. I do think pedophiles are people worthy of hate, and although that's a lot to carry, I do think pedophiles are just, you know, there is no question mark. They're going to hell. I'm sorry. I don't have any other way to put it. You got a demon in you and you got to deal with that. But I don't think gay people are going to hell. I do think Leviticus is a tough one if you're gay, but you got to kind of change your perspective a bit, okay? I don't really know what happens to gay people, but I do think this is true. there are gay people out there who are looking out for kids in a good way. They don't all, you know, they're not all about spreading Satan. Actually, there's a lot of gay people out there who care about people. So I can't just say, oh, gay people, they're all evil. You just can't do that. But by the same token, I'm a Christian. So as a gay person, I hope you would say, well, Dan, he's a Christian. And I think his Christian stuff's crazy, but he's a Christian and he wants to live with me in peace and respect. So maybe I'll let him have crazy ideas and maybe we'll just live together and not kill each other. That's the kind of shit you gotta do when you're in the desert, okay? You gotta use some fucking common sense. And so, yeah, Leviticus is crazy. However, common sense in desperate situations can produce some strange things. You need to remember that. And anyways, have a great day.